could you be any more popular?
Another broadcast is here. You think we'd skip one just because Jesus' birthday is coming up?
We hate Jesus.
We love Jesus so much with all of our hearts. Tim Tebow may not be here, but we share his love for
I'm
Jesus.
I'm 50-50 on him, but he's got a cool beard.
This week, we're going to talk to Vince's classmate at Columbia, Matthew Parker.
Soon-to-be-published author.
Soon-to-be-published author. Are you soon-to-be-published?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I'm published on the internet in newspapers. I got no complaints.
Whatever, bro. Yeah. I want to hear published author.
Sorry.
Next time I talk to you.
I'll write a weight loss book.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
A jiu-jitsu book, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk to Bernsey.
Published Submariner.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to learn that he may or may not be currently traveling in a submarine.
Ah, yes.
Because he is funnier than Vince, turns out.
Yep.
So, everyone.
Just a hunch.
This is Ear Rapist Ben. We have the whole crew. Blogger extraordinaire Vince.
That's me.
And we have Bearded Brett.
Hello.
And we have future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan.
Our God is an awesome God.
So true. So, you want to start off, Vince? We'll get your buddy Matthew Parker on the blower.
Or should we do Bernsey first?
Well, that's going to cause some more editing.
I've lost track.
I'm so unstuck in time right now.
Well, if you want me
to get Matt on the phone.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah.
He's going to potentially regale us about...
We might be funnier afterwards. I don't know. We'll see if we get that far.
Well, if you can take a DeLorean.
Let's just see how the interview goes, you guys.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, well, let's move him in and see what happens.
All right, what's up? We got Matthew Parker on the line. We're going to do a sweet interview here. I know Matthew from the writing program at Columbia. He wrote a book. I think he just finished, right?
Yeah, just finished it.
Yeah, and it's called Larceny in My Blood. I read some of it when it was just a regular book, but now it's going to be a graphic novel. Did I say that right, or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, graphic novel. What's that, next year?
Graphic memoir.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's due out August 7th.
Awesome. And so, and you came to Columbia when you were, what age was it?
47.
47.
So right.
A little older than the rest of us and a little more tattooed.
Yeah. Well.
what was the first time that you were in prison or jail?
Oh, the first time I went to jail, I was probably about 13. But after that, it was pretty steady. Got busted again when I was 15 for larceny. Got busted again when I was 17 for hit and run. Then this was all in Connecticut. Then I moved to Arizona. The first time I went to prison was in 1987. And so there were a lot of misdemeanor bullshit before that. But the first time I actually went to prison and was really got really strung out on heroin was about 1985, and then it started getting popped, and I got busted for counterfeiting. I was actually trading counterfeit money straight across for heroin, and some chick set me up. So I went to federal prison for 2 years.
That was one of the first questions I was going to ask you. Now, like, the counterfeiting, wasn't that sort of like a family business, or like you knew about it from your mom or something?
Yeah, my whole family was kind of, the whole larceny in my blood is a saying my mom used to use all the time. And we started out selling a lot of weed. My mom used to buy weed in Arizona and smuggle it back to Connecticut. Actually, she didn't really even smuggle it. She just checked it into baggage back then. And we'd sell it in Connecticut. So that's how we got connected with Arizona. And that's why a lot of my family moved out there. But after the weed thing, we got really hot in Connecticut. So after the weed thing, they decided they're going to print all this counterfeit money. So we moved to Pennsylvania, but I couldn't really take it in Pennsylvania because it's like the middle of the woods.
Yeah. Well, like in central Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Yeah. And I lasted till about maybe 2 months. I was 17. I went back to Connecticut. They moved down to Arizona. But they, while in Pennsylvania, they printed all this counterfeit money, which was actually pretty shitty. And they never did much with it. And after that, they pretty much went legit. When I got to Arizona, my mom got a job. My stepfather got a job. And
what did they start doing?
My mom worked in a hotel, and he worked in a mall. Uh-huh. They started, like, at the lowest level.
Oh, wow. So were they, was that pretty hard, or were they, like, pissed off at first going from...
No, because my mom always kind of worked, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, shoplifting was really her big thing. And then welfare fraud, that was another one she used to do. And, but she always kind of worked. I mean, except when we sold weed. When we sold weed, we did really well. Mm-hmm. And when she moved to Arizona, she had enough money to buy a house which we still have, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know...
When you're
not
actually,
much has changed.
When you were actually printing, this is the early mid '80s. Like, were you just using?
They tried to do it with photographic etching, but that didn't work out too well. And so they just did it the old-fashioned way: made plates and used an old printing press and just ran it on the press. But the problem with counterfeit money is not so much the printing it; it's the paper, because it's not really paper, so it always feels fake.
I don't know if anyone ever watches American Greed, but a pretty interesting show. And there was one fairly recently about a guy who was just – this was more recent, and he was using modern printers, and he had found some sort of very, very similar paper, and he was making very high-quality counterfeit money just using high-quality –
Yeah, it's easy these days.
Yeah, they don't know what they're missing with the actual plates and everything.
Right. And this was in we moved to Pennsylvania in 77, so that's how long ago it was.
My roommate in college, Dickie, when he got his first job, his first real job, he, like, was playing with the office printer, and he Xeroxed a dollar bill and, like, put it in his wallet, like, on the cover, on the color printer, like, jokingly, and, like, put it in his wallet, and then, like, realized later that he'd used it to, like, buy a cheeseburger at Jack in the Box.
Oh, man. See, what they're doing now, a lot of them, is they're bleaching out ones and fives.
Oh.
And using that paper to print a 20 or 100 on.
Very ingenious.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's why they got so many watermarks in bills now.
So I'm trying to remember the story. That was one of the ones that I remembered more vividly. But basically, like, you had, like, some kind of junky girlfriend, and you had warned her not to use the counterfeit money, and then she did.
Anyway,
what happened exactly?
Two junky girlfriends.
Simultaneously?
Yes.
All right, man.
I heard that's a junkie status symbol.
Kind of, but see, the whole threesome thing is overrated, and I don't really want to get into that. But especially one girlfriend's bad enough. Two is pretty bad, but two junkie girlfriends, forget it. It's impossible.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. So what happened was I had a bunch of these bills, and my girlfriend, my regular girlfriend, knew about them. The other junkie girl talked my regular girlfriend into passing them, and they passed them like at really stupid places with cameras. And they even passed one, like, there was a St. Vincent de Paul's down the street from me, like within spitting distance of my apartment. They passed one there. I told her, why didn't you just pay the fucking rent with it? And so that got us real hot. They figured out who we were right away. And the way I found out was I noticed these guys in suits were following me. So I grabbed my girlfriend. I asked her what happened. She confessed. She had been passing the bills all over the place. This was in Arizona, by the way. And they passed about 10 of them, probably. Mm-hmm. So I went to my mom. I told my mom, look, I got Secret Service guys following me. Not all the time, but I've seen them. They're on to us. What do we do? So we took about, we had about probably $200,000-$300,000 of these bills. And we burned them in the backyard barbecue. Fucked up the grill. The grill never worked again. All the ink got down in the jets.
But like if you would just use the counterfeit for paying for certain things, I mean, like things that we weren't going to get caught. Like there was a way to pass those without getting caught, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
one
basically?
Of my favorite ways was buying drugs and buying drugs from somebody who's going to burn you. Mm-hmm. So somebody's going to sell you powder. Cocaine dealers are the best because they're always erratic to begin with, you know. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's so busy burning you, he's not looking at the money.
Yeah.
So that was one of the ways I would do it. I would never pass them in the stores. That's just the thing with with the old way of making counterfeit bills, every one of those bills has the same serial number. So every time one of those bills turn up, it's like you're leaving a trail of breadcrumbs for the Secret Service.
Yeah.
And they will get you.
Does the Secret Service, do they just jump on that as soon as, do you have to like go up through the ranks of law enforcement, or are they just on your shit as soon as
counterfeit money shows up, they're on it. In fact, that's why the Secret Service was first initiated, was because of counterfeit money. They're the Treasury Department. And they didn't take over protecting a president until, I think, after Lincoln, until they started shooting presidents.
until that became a problem?
Yeah, yeah. But they're always, actually, they're very congenial cops. Most feds are assholes. FBI agents are assholes. Most of them. Who else? DA agents are assholes. Vice cops are assholes. But Secret Service are more like your city cops. Usually regular city cops I don't have any beefs with, you know. Most of them are pretty decent. Same with Secret Service. They're really nice people. Of course, they're trying to get me to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So they got reason to be nice. But for the most part, they treat you pretty decent.
So did you go up to like federal prison on that one? And,
yeah.
And was that like a fundamentally different prison experience than the other times?
That's a whole new thing. And the way I compare it in the book, it's like Columbia is like a Fed joint.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got your county jails. Think of a community college, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got your state prisons. Think of a state college. Then you got your Fed joints, your club feds. Think of Ivy League or Stanford or Berkeley, your high-end colleges. So that's how, yeah, it's a whole different experience.
When you say high-end college, I mean, are you talking like serious shit? Like you like don't look at anybody funny and like stuff like that?
No. It's just much more classy.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that analogy.
No, it's much more Fed joints. Like, think of Camp Cupcake, where I was in a federal prison in Boron, California, that didn't even have a fence around it. It just had a yellow line painted around it, and it just said out of bounds. You know, and I used to, like, put one foot over the line and say, look, I'm escaped. But they had like a baked potato bar. They actually had a swimming pool. It was an old Army Air Force base.
So you don't have to worry about getting shanked in the federal.
No, prison. I mean if you get up higher, everything is got to do with security level. So the higher security you go, the more likely you're going to get stuck. And you're only going to get stuck if you're in the game. If you owe somebody money for dope or gambling, or if you're a snitch or a child molester or something. Yeah, you're going to get stuck. But if you're just there doing your time, nobody really is going to fuck with you.
So I was going to kind of ask you about like the movie and media like perceptions versus the reality. Because, you know, I watched my fair share of Lockup on MSNBC. And they sort of make it sound like you have to join a gang.
Yeah, it depends. See, every state's different. So federal prison's different. Now, you got your gangs. You're going to have your gangs in every prison. You got your white supremacists, who are easy to spot because they got swastikas all over them.
Right.
The other races you don't know too much about because you don't mingle with them at all. But basically you got your black guerrillas, your black Muslims, then you got your Mexicans. And the Mexicans are so many different factions, it's insane. Last time I was in prison, the Mexican nationals and the Mexican Americans were killing each other. And that's pretty standard in California too.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on the state. I mean, I've never had to join a gang. And I've been in mediums quite a few times. Mediums, most guys are doing 15 to 25 years. And a lot of them really, I mean, everything revolves around dope, pretty much. Because that's really all there is to do in there. You know, so, but if you're not in the mix, and I shot a lot of dope in prison, but as long as you pay your bills, and even if you can't pay your bills, so long as you go up to them and say, look, this happened, how can we deal with it? And they'll work with you. You know, nobody wants to stab anybody because it shuts down business.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, whenever somebody gets stuck, it shuts down business. The funny thing about prison is the only way to affect prison reform is through boycotts and strikes. But the gang leaders will never let you do it because it's bad for business.
Because then you can't get all the drugs in.
You can't get the drugs going. You can't get the drugs and the extortion rackets and the gambling tables. Gambling tables they make big money on.
So how does that work? There's just a bookmaker within the jail or several?
There's bookmakers all over the place. I mean, you can bet on football, basketball, everything. But as far as cards is where they get you. Blackjack and poker, especially because they cheat. Mm-hmm.
Makes it harder to win, turns out.
Yeah. It's just like casinos. I mean, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
Now, what do they do with the money in prison?
They buy more drugs. They buy power. They, you know, there's all kinds of status symbols. I mean, you buy food. Food, of course, sucks. So you buy food from a canteen, which is much better.
Right.
My friend that went to county, my friend spent like 9 months in county somewhere, and he said like the entire economy was basically based around like ramen noodles. Like
they're ramen noodles. They're cigarettes. See, cigarettes are gone now, so it's a very different.
So when you were in, it was all cigarettes.
Now. So I guess ramen noodles took over where cigarettes left off.
It's the new cigarette.
That's funny because yeah. I understand cigarettes, but ramen noodles, I'm like, you don't really. I mean, it's,
how many ramen noodles can you eat?
Well, the thing about county is you guys know the difference between jail and prison, right?
Right.
County jail is basically a holding area.
Right.
But county, they make it very, very uncomfortable for you. So you're always hungry. And the reason they make it uncomfortable is they want you to sign that plea bargain. They don't want you to go to trial. Nobody wants you to go to trial because they don't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And really, trials are unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. So they make county jail very fucked up. It's fucked up. County jail sucks. It's the worst. Once you get to prison, it's like heaven after the county jail. So, yeah, I could see it revolving around food or some kind of food. Last time I was in a county jail was in 2000. And there were cigarettes, but they were underground cigarettes. Now you're buying a Pinner cigarette, like you used to buy a Pinner joint for like 4 candy bars.
So the jail's outlawed cigarettes? Like it's officially?
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on the state, but most jails, yeah. In Arizona, it happened in 94, I believe.
That sucks. I mean, I don't smoke, but if I was in prison, it's like, what else are you going to do?
It's nothing like tobacco in prison. Nothing like it. I just quit smoking recently, as a matter of fact. It was worse quitting than heroin, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad. But
Did you have to do anything? Did you take like any of the, like, you know, any of the
I tried it. You know, I've been trying for like 2 years. I probably quit like 20 times in 2 years, which I went through the same thing with heroin, by the way. After you try, you get better at it each time you try. But the thing with cigarettes is you go outside, they're smoking on every street corner. It's like if you were a junkie and you're trying to stay clean, you went out and everybody's shooting up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a comparison.
And you could just buy heroin on every street corner
as
well.
Yeah, you could just buy it everywhere, yeah.
So how did you get started with heroin?
Well, you know, I started out eating a lot of acid and drinking, of course, and smoking weed. And the acid, I kind of got psyched by all them hippies saying, you know, higher planes of existence and touch God and all this other crap, because the whole God thing wasn't working for me after Catholic school.
Yeah.
So I was always looking for this magic. I was always looking for something that was outside of myself.
Yeah, you do have a giant pentagram on your stomach, don't you?
Yeah, there's a whole story about that, too. I took a lot of acid, but that got worn out after a while. So then I got into speed, but the speed was killing me. And then when I tried heroin one day, it only took one time. But I was already shooting shit by then. I was shooting speed. So once I shot up heroin one time, I think I was 16. And that was it. You know, I was in love. I mean, if you ever take an OxyContin or morphine or Demerol or what's the other one?
Vicodin.
Yeah.
I told the story last time about how I got in a fight because I had a surgery and like I'd been taking I had my foot in a boot and I'd been taking like, you know, 5 to 10 Vicodin a day and like going out drinking. And then like the day my Vicodin ran out, I was so crabby and in such a shitty mood that I ended up like getting in a fight because some guy just like set me off when I was like withdrawing really hard from
my fucking Vicodin. Nasty. Where's my Vicodin?
What'd you fucking say to me?
I'll kill you, you motherfucker.
Do you have Vicodin?
So another thing with the heroin, my brothers died. I buried 2 brothers along the way. When my brothers died, you know, that's just an excuse, I know, but still, it makes it easier to be a junkie.
It makes it easier when the people that you know well they're gone and don't know that you're still doing it?
Well, when somebody close to you dies, it's easy to get high. Because when you're high, you're not
thinking
numb.
About it.
What's that?
You're not thinking about it when you're high.
No, you're not thinking about it at all. In fact, you're putting your grief off, so to speak. So every time I went to jail, I didn't just have to withdraw from heroin. I had to deal with all this grief. So it's kind of weird. You know, it's different for everybody, of course. But, you know, you guys are all into music, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you hear a good song out of the blue that you haven't heard in a long time, you get kind of a body rush. You ever get a body rush from a good song?
Yeah.
That's the same as heroin, only about times 10. And it doesn't go away right away. You know, with the song, it's gone in a few seconds. With heroin, when you fix it, lasts probably 3 to 4 minutes to rush. And then you're just high for hours. You know, and you're high in a down way. You know, everybody thinks heroin addicts are sleeping, but we're not sleeping. We're just so high we can't keep our eyelids up. Or keep our mouths shut. And we used to call it catching flies because your mouth's always hanging open.
Yeah, I feel like out here, like you walk around the Tenderloin, and I feel like everybody gets heroin at the same time or something, because like you walk around and like the street people, they're always in the same state of either like agitation or being really happy.
Yeah, that's before and after.
Yeah,
not a lot of in between. And no. It might not all be heroin, but whatever the drug of choice may be.
Yeah, you could tell heroin, they'll be scratching. They'll be scratching their face, even with Vicodin or any of your synthetic heroines, mm-hmm. like OxyContin. You're going to be scratching. Percocets, you'll be scratching.
Yeah, I had my knee operated on last year, and like I think I just had a few too many Vicodins because they gave me like a big-ass bottle. So I was like, hey, why not take like four, you know? And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my whole face itches. And then like I realized like, yeah, I look like one of those guys on Cops.
Well, yeah, and you too. Yeah. I bet when they give you shit, it's like they don't know how to dose you because you're big.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, just take a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, just take a handful. You'll be fine.
His pills were the size of a churro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gorilla biscuits.
So how did you get from, how did you eventually, you quit heroin when you're what, like 40 or something like that?
40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you turn 40?
Yeah, there was a judge, cute judge. She was actually a pro temp, which means she was a lawyer, but they're low on judges, so they'll bring a lawyer in to just be a judge because they're hurt and they need judges.
Uh-huh.
They call them pro temps. I think she's a full judge by now. But she was cute, and I was 33, I believe. And she told me, I see you're a heroin addict. I said, yep. And she said, well, most heroin addicts don't get straight until they're 40. Then they either get straight or they go all the way. They end up dead or they end up in prison for the rest of their lives. She said, you got a good 8 years left. And she sentenced me to 2 years, but that always stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 days before my 40th birthday, I got busted. Felony shoplifting. It was actually old cases that they refiled. And I knew I was going back to prison. I kicked dope in the county jail for the umpteenth time. And I was standing in my cell one night. My cellie was kind of asleep. It was probably about 11 o'clock, shift change. And one of the guards I knew came up and said, Parker, why do you keep coming back here, man? You seem like a smart guy. And I said, I don't know. I couldn't answer him. But when he left, it kind of stuck with me. And I was thinking about him, and I was thinking about that judge, and all this shit's going around in my head. My mom's all alone because she had divorced my stepfather, so she's paying this big mortgage on her own, working two shifts to pay the fucking mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm this total fuck up. So all this shit came together at once. But really it was, when I was a kid, I didn't like control. I didn't like anybody tell me what to do. That's why I smoked, because they told me I couldn't. I took drugs because they told me I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go to college because they told me I should. I mean, I was a real idiot like that. And so I figured, well, I'm a junkie. I'm free. Nobody's telling me what to do. But when it dawned on me, I'm stuck in this little cage and I'm not doing anything. I'm totally in their control. And I always wanted to be a writer. My writing sucked. It was this didactic bullshit. It was just ranting, basically. And everything that I wanted to achieve in my life, I lost to dope. I was losing it to dope. And I was losing my family to dope. I mean, I was losing everything to it. So right then and there, I decided to quit.
And so then...
Sorry,
go ahead.
After that, I used three more times. This was in March of 2000. Mm-hmm. I used in, was it 2000? Yeah, it was March of 2000. I used in Christmas of 2000 in prison because I got 2.5 years, so I did 2 calendars. I used on my birthday of 2001, which was the following April, and then I used when I got out in March of 2002. Yeah. And I only used about 3 times when I got out. And I used to fix 3 times for breakfast. And since then, I haven't used ever again. And when I got out, it was more to say, okay, I really hate this shit. It was more that, okay, I'm never going to use it again. Yeah. And the worst part about it was I did too much one day and crawled into the shower naked, managed to get my clothes off and crawl into the shower and blast cold water on me so I wouldn't OD, so I wouldn't pass out and stop breathing. And my mom found me like that. And that was a big thing because, you know, she freaked.
Yeah. So then how did you eventually go from prison to college and then, like, grad school?
Well, when I got out, I decided I'm not going to use no more, even though I used a couple more times. And that was basically to get out of my system. Plus, I still had a girlfriend who was a stone-cold junkie. So I had to get rid of her. That was the first thing.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And it was kind of hard because I did love her. And I always wanted to go back to school, but I'm a carpenter by trade, but I had no truck, no tools. And in Arizona, without a truck and tools, forget it, you ain't working. So I worked at a day labor place, making minimum wage, digging ditches all day. And I went down to the college. I enrolled. They helped me with the financial aid. And I got out in March of 2002, started the following fall, and went to ASU after the community college and then right to Columbia. I never stopped. I've been in school ever since.
Yeah. Well, you graduated. What have you been doing since? Have you just been writing the book since you graduated?
Just been writing this book. I just finished that book last week, yeah. 2 weeks ago. Wow. 2 weeks ago today, in fact, I finished it.
Nice.
So I finished classes at Columbia. You remember. You were there. Mm-hmm. Remember I got that piece published in the New York Times?
Yeah, that's right.
After that, I had agents crawling up my ass, got me an agent, and we were actually doing the memoir, the one you're familiar with. Uh-huh. And I took a class with Bob Holman. You remember Bob Holman, the poet?
I never met
him. Yeah, he had this class called Exploding Text. Uh-huh. So I took a class with him, and I did a little graphic in his class. And I was down in the village one day eating breakfast with my agent. We were talking about the memoir, and I showed him that graphic. Mm-hmm. I said, take a look at this. We may do something with this in the future. And he said, all right, I'll look at it and get back to you in 2 weeks. And by the time I get back to my apartment from the village, he called me like 6 times and said, this is what we're going to do. Drop everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering, if you had a different take on, because I think I feel like grad school writing critiques are inherently funny. And I was wondering if you had any particular, like, thing that stood out in your mind as like a weird experience in a workshop, like coming from prison and into a grad school writing workshop where people are arguing about like the most esoteric intellectual thing ever.
I think I had more of a problem with, as an English major, as an undergrad, hearing all this theory stuff. But as far as grad school went, no, it wasn't that weird. I mean, I got a little schooled because there's a writer called Richard Shelton, an Arizona writer. Mm-hmm. And when I was in Tucson on my last beef, it was 2001, he was running a writer's workshop in the prison I was in. Mm-hmm. So, and it was a different kind of workshop. But it wasn't that much different. It was all guys, for one thing, where ours was all women. Remember? Yeah. We were like the only guys in there.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. So it's all men. And he was a little gruff. I mean, I was writing a lot of poetry then because poetry is easy to write. Well, let me rephrase that. Bad poetry is easy to write. And he told me, your poetry feels like somebody's hit me over the head with a fucking hammer. That's what he said to me. And I want you to write essays. And that's when I kind of started writing essays. But so I had a little experience with workshops. So nothing really surprised me at workshop. I mean, It was a lot of stories about people who were really young and didn't have a lot of life experience, you know, which kind of I found a little awkward.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them were kind of the same, you know, coming of age stories. But nothing really surprised me, no.
I just remember running afoul of the female mafia on one or two occasions.
What?
Yeah.
Vince is the most polite, gentlemanly. Yeah. He's just.
No, they like me most of the time, but
except when you're trying to put them in headlocks, or what was like, what was the thing that really?
Well, there's certain
the
like
farting in class, lighting farts on fire in the middle. Everyone, hold up, professor, stop your poem. I got something very important to announce. Anyone have a lighter?
It was more just like every once in a while you'd run afoul of. There's certain like PC barriers or buzzwords that you can't. Like, it'll light up their sensor. They won't even really understand why they're mad. They're just, like, trained to, like, you know, be set off by certain things.
It's the type. It's the segment of the population that does enjoy getting offended.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's a little of that for sure. I think one time that sticks out in my mind was I was writing about, like, a former supervisor, and I sort of painted her as a woman who was sort of
a bitch, or
well, basically, like, she was trying to be. Bitchy because she thought like she was
she would respect her.
Yeah,
for being
exactly.
Bitchy.
Yeah, and like that, they fucking flipped out on me for that. Just because like
you know what?
I
don't know what it's like to be a woman in this world, Vince.
Yeah, exactly. You can't characterize it. You know how hard it is for us because you know people characterize us this way.
You don't have a glass ceiling. We live under a glass ceiling at all times.
Yeah.
See, for me, I was just happy to be around women. I didn't care what they said, to be honest with you.
Keep talking. I'm good.
Anything they wanted. Where I used to get in trouble was with gay jokes.
Yeah. I did that once or twice, but not not as often.
Yeah, they used to get mad. And at first, I didn't even realize. But as time went on, you know, I started to realize I should probably cool it with the gay jokes. But gay jokes are so huge in prison. That's all we do.
Right. I was about to say they should. You should be like, hey, listen, I've lived with dudes for the last 5 years.
Or whatever. Cut me some slack.
Yeah. Whenever I hear like the bullying stuff where the gay guys are like, they beat me up and called me faggot when I was young, and I was like, yeah, that happened to all of us.
kind of. Yeah. And it's funny in prison because. Supposedly gay people in prison, gay guys in prison are on the lowest rung of the prison ladder. But that's not really true. Because everybody doesn't. A lot of the guys, especially on higher medium yards where guys are doing 15, 20 years, they're fucking them gay guys. And they're of the philosophy, well, it's okay if I'm just fucking them so long as I'm not getting fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird if you think about it.
Yeah, but, what is the deal with that? Because there's that weird sort of line of, like, there are, like, actual gay dudes, but then there's the dudes that aren't gay, but they fuck the gay dudes.
Yeah, well, it's the whole thing is hypocrisy, you know? Basically, your white supremacists are basically Republicans.
So it's the same as it is on the outside.
It's exactly the same, except it's easy to tell them because they all got swastikas all over. Right. It's just out here, it's not so easy to tell.
Right. Well, you can tell out in the real world is it's a if it's a white guy in a bow tie, or if there's a cell phone on a holster. That's generally a Republican.
Yeah, so they're basically very hypocritical. I mean, they always talk about. Prisons run on fear, just like Republicans try to run you on fear. Oh, the blacks are going to take over the world, and the Jews are going to take over the world. It's like, yeah, whatever, shut the fuck up. But you really can't say that.
Yeah,
you can't really point out to them, well, if Hitler had won, you'd be in line behind the gypsies because he didn't brook any kind of deviance. And so, you know, their whole philosophy is no drugs, no gays, no nothing, but they're all junkies, and they're all screwing around with the gay guys. The thing about if you're gay in prison is they feminize you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know.
Yeah, I was watching that Beyond Scared Straight where they made the kid lick his finger and stick it in the Kool-Aid pouch and then put it on his lips.
And then what? Oh,
they made him put on
his lipstick.
And it's Scared Straight. So the kid's like 13 and he's like about to cry. He's like, you know,
he's got this
huge black guy in his face. Lick your finger. It actually made me kind of uncomfortable. But
yeah, that's just stupid. That kid is probably traumatized for life.
So what do they do to feminize the gay guys?
They just feminize them. I mean, I used to work out in the highways. It was the best job in the world because you find all kinds of shit. So if you find any women's underwear or makeup or shit like that, and if you got enough balls to try and smuggle it back to the yard, you could sell it to them queens. Boy, they buy that shit up quick. But they're basically, if you're going to be gay in prison, and this isn't the rule, but it's basically, I mean, it's not strictly enforced rule. I mean, if you're a big motherfucker and you're gay, nobody's going to tell you got to put on, you know, you got to start painting your lips or anything like that.
I'm a power bottom motherfucker. You don't tell me what underwear to wear.
You can fuck me, but I ain't wearing that shit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, if most homosexuals try and find a dude to take care of them, and the first thing the dude does is feminize them, if they're not feminized already. So they try and make them look as much like women as they can. Because, again, it's a status symbol. If you're walking around with a cute dude and cut off shorts, you know. I mean, it's still a dude, but it could look good from behind sometimes. Yeah. Especially here for a few years.
Shave those legs, cut off
We live in San Francisco. We see that from time to time.
I always found it really interesting that the child molesters were just the bottom of the barrel in jail, like they or prison, either way, that there's standards like, hey, we can do what we want, but these child molesters are just evil. Were there other people that were sort of in that same...
Snitches.
So snitches and child molesters were the bottom of the...
Were the bottom of the barrel, and supposedly gay guys, but it really doesn't work that way. Because if you're a gay guy and you get with somebody who's higher by the hierarchy, you're getting the first pick of the dope. Remember, everything revolves around dope. Everybody in prison just about is shooting dope or snorting coke or smoking weed at the very least. Just about everybody.
And how is
there's nothing else to do.
How is most of that getting in?
Through visitation. Because according to federal law, you have to allow contact visits. So, and it's getting harder now because they can x-ray you. It used to be if they suspected you, because what they do is a chick will bring it in her snatch. And then she'll go in
some snatch
to the bathroom. Yeah, she'll bring it in her pussy. And she'll go into the bathroom, get it out, put it in her mouth, come out, give you a little kiss, because you're allowed little kisses at the beginning and end of visit. Give you a kiss. You'll take the dope into your mouth. Now, you'll either swallow it or go into the bathroom and stick it up your ass, one or the other. And that's how it's getting in.
That's quite a sequence of events.
Like a human
you should
centipede.
See him with tobacco.
So is it the same thing essentially with tobacco?
Yeah, but tobacco is huge.
It's true.
The
it's a lot of
little. Like grandma heroin's as big as a marble.
So yeah, the tobacco, that's a lot of volume.
It's volume. That's weed too.
I got this new girlfriend. She's kind of a bitch and she's not that cute, but man, she can fit so much tobacco in her pussy.
The
it's amazing.
The biggest vagina
she
has, I have ever
can
seen.
Can carry so much drugs
a
in there.
A full carton of cigarettes in her vagina.
It looks like a catcher's mitt.
That's fine, but then the guy has to get it up his ass. It's called keistering.
Yeah, good point.
All right.
How does one become good at keistering? Is it just practice?
It's not something I really get into. I only did it one time with a syringe.
Wow, that sounds like
a
difficult.
On a highway.
Yeah, that's one of the
that's
few things
dangerous.
I would not want to keister.
Well, we had tape, so I taped it up really good, wrapped it in plastic, and taped it up real good, and greased it up, and hurt like fucking hell. But see, a syringe is like gold, because every time somebody gets some heroin and they need to borrow a syringe, well, they got to kick you down.
So the syringe essentially equals free dope.
Yes.
Well, it's sort of a no-win for the prison there, because it's like if they give you free syringes, it feels like they're promoting drug use, and if they don't, it's like people are going to be sharing needles.
Yeah, but you always had bleach around.
Ah.
Bleach is good for AIDS, not so good for hepatitis, or so they say. But see, and you get these big, tough guys who are scared of needles, but they use them beat-up old tattoo needles, man. Most of my tattoos were done in prison.
And that's not, that's essentially illegal inside prison.
Oh, yeah. That's something they should legalize in prison. Some states do. I think Massachusetts, it's legal. They actually have a tattoo shop with an autoclave and everything.
The craziest thing I ever saw on lockup in terms of tattooing.
Oh, the eye tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh, where they tattooed the whites of their eyes.
Yep. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That shit is crazy.
Oh, my God.
They stuck, for those of you listening,
all got, four of you.
Yeah, all eight listeners. They stuck.
Hey, we're up to 20,000 this month. Okay.
Booyah.
Boom.
They put needles with some sort of tattoo ink, and so your eyes actually have no nerves, so it doesn't hurt. and they just put it right under the whatever layer, top layer of your eye, and they injected, one guy had blue and one guy had red. And so
I wonder where they got the colored ink, though.
They wouldn't say. It was funny because they like there was the, that was like the part where they're like they weren't giving up the info on how
they weren't
exactly
giving up the info. No, I've seen it, yeah. That.
Do you watch Lockup?
Yeah, I do on occasion. Yeah,
and it's a good show.
Is that similar to some of your experiences in terms of what they're showing?
Well, the thing about Lockup is you're not really fine. They're not talking to anybody who's of any merit. Most guys will not talk to you.
Right.
It's like talking to the police. That's the way they see it. So the guys who are really running the show are not on Lockup. That's why they're always in the cells where all the crazy people are. Because when they go out in the yard, nobody will talk to them for the most part.
Just in case it gets to someone else, they don't want to be that guy that said anything?
Yeah, pretty much. And then again, it depends on the state. See, prisons from state to state are very different. I did most of my time in Arizona, a little bit in California, but that's only because it was feds, and that's a whole other thing. So if you're in a fed system, it doesn't matter what state you're in. It's all the same. But state to state is very different doing time. So when I say, oh, I know this about prison, I know that about prison, yeah, I know this about Arizona prisons and that about Arizona prisons and this about federal prisons, that about federal prisons. But as far as doing time in Indiana, I got no clue, man.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been there. So I really can't say.
The graphic novel, the graphic memoir, is that, a lot of your life? Is it specific to prison? Is it specific to certain things that you've done?
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's got a lot to do with my family. It's got a lot to do with prison, and it's got a lot to do with going back to school and dealing with school after dealing with prison, which was, you know, like I said, especially Arizona State, women, it's so hot in Arizona, they're like half naked.
Yeah, and they give you implants when you enter the state.
Yeah, your fucking face must have exploded. When you...
it was like torture.
Yeah, Arizona State of all places. Jesus Christ, everyone looks like a porn star.
All of them, Arizona and Arizona State, both of the Arizona schools.
And it wasn't like women were beating a path to me either.
You do have a pentagram tattooed on you. That's probably.
I got a pentagram tattooed around my belly button, yes.
Spring break 99.
I actually did it because... Every time you go into Arizona State Prison, there's a reception center called Alhambra. And they asked me what my religion was, and I told them pagan. And the lady said there was no such thing. And I told her, you better read your history books. And she had a little list of approved religions. And one of mine there was Wiccan, and she tried to say it was Wiccan. I said, no, I'm not a Wiccan. I was really just doing it to fuck with them.
Do I look like a fat chick that shops at Whole Foods? No. Yeah.
And the only thing they'll give you at Alhambra to read is the Bible. They won't give you any kind of books. They won't give you shit. And it's the worst place. It's worse than the county jail because it's maximum security. And so you're there for anywhere from a few days to a few weeks.
Yeah.
And the whole Christian thing was starting to get to me. And the whole Bible thing, because in prison, you know, everybody's found Jesus.
Yeah.
Until the dope sack hits, and Jesus is all forgotten about. At least
later,
for the
Jesus.
Day.
Take care, buddy. I'll see you in a couple months.
Monday, it's back to Jesus.
We'll hook up later.
So I put the, it was just a sign of my obstinance. I put the pentagram on there to piss them off.
Yeah.
Especially the guards. They all thought I was a Satanist, which is so far from the truth. It's like laughable.
Yeah. Well, we gotta wrap this thing up. But
we
should probably have you on another time. This is like a lot of
ground
to cover.
There's no such thing as too many prison stories.
Yeah.
No. Well, I could go on all night. Really.
Well, is there somewhere that you update anything more in real time? Twitter, any sort of website or anything that you want to tell people about to go to?
No, I haven't got a website up. It'll be up in about a month. But the website's called Larceny in My Blood, so it'll be easy to find. I already bought the domain name, so.
All right, you're good to go
there. As soon as I figure out how to do websites, I will do one.
I'll keep people updated.
And then in August, it'll be published.
Right? August 7th, yeah. It's already 7th. Up on Amazon.
Nice. Oh,
all right, you can pre-order.
All right, we'll go get that.
Yep, you can pre-order it.
Nice.
And it's called Larceny in My Blood, A Memoir of Heroin, Handcuffs, and Higher Education.
Awesome.
That's quite a combo.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure. And Vince, we got to have him back on. Prison stories.
I agree.
All the time.
We'll do that.
Cool. Anytime, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Burnsy, what's the deal with your corner, bro?
Well, I'm sad to report that since the last time we spoke and I've come down with the plague.
Yeah.
I'm a little under the weather tonight, so if I sound more nasally than normal, please forgive me.
I think we're all under the weather. I had a friend visiting from San Diego, and he is a terrible influence on me, it turns out.
Why, you guys got sick together?
I had a no school day.
I'm more like drunk sick, where I've just been drinking for like 3 days straight, and then I get the thing where you have like a sore throat from drinking, and then you have like a stuffy, your sinuses are clear, but you have that feeling like you have a stuffed up nose, and you're super tired, but you can't go to sleep because your body like metabolized all the booze and sugar.
You also have spiders under your skin that makes it hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, turning 30 really sucks. I remember in college, like after football season was over, it was like this big celebration. I remember going like 2 weeks straight of just like binge drinking, like blacking out, like and being fine.
Yeah.
And now if I have like more than 3 drinks, I'm like hungover the next day.
I've been doing the same things Vince has, but just not for as long. I'll show up at 7 o'clock when they've been doing it since 2, and I wake up every morning with explosive diarrhea.
Yeah.
And it's not I'm not sick. There's nothing wrong with me. It's just my body just doesn't give a shit about me anymore.
I had a couple blood shits today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, that's totally normal, bro.
Yeah, it's just
very normal.
I'm healthy, right? That means that's how you know you're really healthy.
That means you know your kidneys are working.
That's how you know your blood, your heart's pumping right. Like it's pumping so good.
I got so much exceptional blood, it just comes out my butthole. My blood is A+, and there's a lot of it.
The old butt barf is not that pleasant. Like, gonna go take. Oh my god!
The worst thing is it'll wake me up, right? Like, I wake up promptly at 7 o'clock, going, "I need to shit," but my body hurts so bad I can't get out of bed.
And you just hold it until
until it's like it's go time. Now the day starts, and this is how it starts.
So now Burnsy wrote the 10 worst movies of 2011 post recently.
Burnsy,
it was great.
What was number one?
Number one was Tower Heist.
Which is bullshit because Super 8 was by far the worst movie I saw this year.
Did you see all of them?
Yes, I watched every movie that I talked about.
Okay, good. I was very concerned about credibility there.
No,
that is impressive. You saw an impressive number of shitty movies.
For the sake of doing something for Vince.
How many movies? How many movies a year do you see, or was this specific to the project?
Honestly, this time around, I just did it for the sake of doing it because I had a list of movies that I had to see to consider for which movies were going to be the absolute shittiest.
This was an assignment from Vince, and you took it so serious that you saw the movies. I'm very impressed.
That you did it because all of our homework is still sitting on our floor.
Yeah, from a year ago.
I think I flushed it after I wiped
our
my butt with it.
So you actually saw Bucky Larson?
I sure did.
And, oh, my goodness.
And was it as bad as advertised?
It was so beyond worse than what I ever expected from it just because I didn't get the damn jokes.
Yeah, I really liked your thing when you're talking about Jack and Jill where you pointed out like the very worst part where he's like,
"You saw Jack and Jill too? Oh my God, you're a saint.
You're a goddamn American hero, Bernstein."
He goes, no, there's the part in the trailer where they ask, like, "So is she fraternal or identical?" First of all, it's a girl. He's a dude. Obviously, they're not fucking identical twins. And they're like, she's nocturnal like a bat. And
that's got to be the worst joke in any movie this year.
He's like, "I have no idea what that means at all." It's not even like a stupid joke. It's just like confusing.
I am confused by that joke, but I bet most of the theater laughed. All 4 of the people with you in the theater.
I kind of like, it's got a little bit of absurdism. It's like that dude that called me out for having a beard saying he was fucking a sea lion when he hit rock bottom. I like how they just throw something weird in there.
But it's not absurd enough. There's a difference between absurdity and like failed sense making.
It's whackety schmackety do. Yeah.
It's just lazy.
They have
a few similar letters and they sound the same, so we're just going to use them.
Man, words are hilarious.
Hey, Burnsy, did I see you put on Twitter that someone from Sony like contacted you after you put out the 10 worst movies?
This is a good story. This is a good story. So I get an email from this guy, and he's like, "Hey, I'm so and so. I'm a senior vice president at Sony. Do you have Burnsy's email? He's really funny." And that was the whole email. I'm like, wow. If you wanted to like craft the perfect way to insult me.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, bro. Hey, it looks like a hot chick at the bar taps you on the shoulder. It's like, hey, how's it going? Like, oh, hey, hot chick, what's going on? Yeah, your friend over there is really cute. Can you introduce us? And you're like, sure. That's awesome. Thanks.
I'm interested in banging him ferociously.
Yeah, it's very forward, too. Like, I want to have sex with him as soon as possible.
Yeah, if you could you trick him into going to the bathroom so I could casually bang him, like, that would be great.
Can we use your bed and do it in front of your mom?
Can you get your dog to watch us fuck?
There are zero dicks in here, and that needs to change.
I don't know how to contact him, but I need to. You seem the best way to do it.
Has he sent a Learjet to pick you up and whisk you off to show business yet?
Two hookers just showed up at my house about an hour ago.
Booyah.
Right.
Garbage bag full of coke.
I can't wait for you to live blog from Sundance where Vince is banned.
to be fair though, Vince, to double be fair, you kind of had that one coming. You shouldn't just make people see horrible movies.
I didn't make him see that. He did that on his own.
That's a mean thing to do.
I honestly did. I didn't. Like, he just.
I just do it.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't direct it.
I'm batshit crazy. I just go see movies I hate.
I hate myself.
So out of all those, I can't believe you solved them. First of all, you are, as Brett said, a true American hero.
I mean, honestly, you guys know as well as I do that most of them, I kind of sat there and drifted off and just started looking away going, why the fuck am I watching this right now?
Quietly masturbating.
Like, there was no way in hell I was going to make it all the way through Justin Bieber's Never Say Never.
Look away. Look away.
Wait, you act. Wow. That,
you saw that? Ooh,
wow.
Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, I sat through Zookeeper, but Never Say Never is on another level.
Wait. Zookeeper was so fucking terrible.
So,
you know what? Like, maybe it's because my expectations were like lower than the most bottomless pit.
Lower
in hell.
Than the shit in my stool.
Yeah, like lower than you could possibly get. And I don't know. By the time I saw it, I was just like, yeah, that's pretty much what I expected.
Of the four Sandler movies that were released this year, I watched that one last. And by the time I was done watching that one, I was like, you know what? That one was the least shittiest of the four of them.
So I'm actually curious, and of all these horrible movies that are just butt wipes of toilet paper.
You didn't have the giant retarded guy next to you during Zookeeper going, do you work for the newspaper?
I love how that continues to cement your place in hell. Just with your placard.
I know, and I was taking notes.
So, Bernsey, what made Tower Heist the worst?
I think... last year, it was too easy to pick grown-ups because it was such a terrible movie, and we knew it was going to be terrible. And, like, I kind of wanted to be a little more fair in picking the shittiest movie. So when it came to Tower Heist, it was just, like, I was kind of – it was the movie that insulted me the most because it was just so stupid and poorly put together and just nothing made sense.
It was fantastically insulting. I will say that.
Was it the gold car? Is that what
the gold car? The problem was I knew about the gold car going into seeing it. So like I knew that I was waiting for something stupid the whole time. So maybe that kind of altered my perception. But by the time it got to that, I was already like, fuck this. Just bring on the gold car already.
Give it a show. Were you yelling that out loud?
It was a welcome reprieve.
Just let the gold car kill me now.
No, I picture you in a full theater because I know in Florida that's sold out for like 30 consecutive weeks.
They're still showing it. They can't get tickets. It's like Book of Mormon in Florida.
It's really big in Christmas.
And just right in the middle, you're like, God damn it, just show me the gold car. Show me the fucking gold car.
I had no idea of the gold car, and it was like melting my face when I saw it.
Well,
like,
not as much as it melts down a steering wheel into actual gold.
That's true. Like, I just saw War Horse. And I would describe War Horse as like a cotton candy of a movie where it's like, it's not like an uncooked steak. It's just, it's cotton candy. I knew what I was going for.
It's like a Big Mac.
It's interesting for like.
Is it like a Big Mac?
No, it's more like cotton candy because there's, Big Mac has like 10 flavors in it.
Is it like a McRib?
No. And it's just like, you know exactly what you're going to going. It's going to be interesting. Shut up. I hate you. I hope you die.
Is it like a play of fish?
I hope you die.
Chicken McNuggets.
But no, guys, it's like Arby's.
But, oh, okay.
But Tower Heist...
I'm with you, Brendan.
Tower Heist, like, it's not an uncooked steak. It's fucking cotton candy, you know? Like, it's not something that somebody fucked up. It's like, that's what you were going for. Okay. And then Tower Heist is basically like a steak that somebody like boiled and then put in a microwave and then like ran over with a car and then sprinkled fucking like glitter onto. Like, I have no idea what the fuck this is supposed to be.
Even simpler than that, Tower Heist was people who put ketchup on steak.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
This Burnsy guy is funny. We should get him in touch with some people from Sony.
Vince, why doesn't he...
Take him to show business immediately.
Vince, why isn't he the main host of this show?
I'm wearing a top hat right now.
Tell me you're wearing a top hat, a bow tie, and no shirt.
Damn it, you and Fatty Arbuckle are raping chicks without me, aren't you? God damn it.
Fatty Arbuckle. That's...
Wow.
That's what you get in show business. When you go to show business, you and Fatty Arbuckle get to rape chicks. It's just you and Fatty Arbuckle just finger cuffing some 15-year-old.
Our average listener's like, hey, I had this chick in my college class who Fatty Arbuckle references.
Vince, can we not forget about the WB
A trial
frog?
Of the century.
I like when people email us and they're like, I told one of your jokes and nobody got it. And I'm like, yeah, welcome to my life. why would you ever think someone would get that?
All right, you need to come hang out with us, people about 15 years older than you.
There's going to be a group of 10 people. There's going to be one of them who's like, ha, that's good.
That's funny, but I don't get it.
That's cool.
And I'm doing running commentary while you're talking. This is annoying the shit. It's not good enough yet. You should do it better. You do it, just speed it up. I'm tired. I want to go home.
So, Burnsy, it's really nice of you, first of all, to call us from the Sony jet that Vince has never been invited
never
on.
Never been even.
And you're
fucking...
going, what, straight to Sundance? Is that how it works?
I'm actually on a submarine right now.
Oh, nice.
He riding on baby panda first seats, dog.
I got to read this email because it dovetails nicely into what we were just talking about. There was a shooting in the Grand Marais courthouse this week where three people were wounded. I came into the living room where my family was gathered around the computer, and I asked what was wrong. They explained that this guy was convicted of statutory rape. He convinced a couple 15-year-olds to have sex with him, and when they read his sentence, he pulled out a gun and shot people. So me, being awesomely clever, decided to say, "Sounds like the only thing he's guilty of is having game," a reference to an earlier broadcast. Nobody, I repeat, nobody thought it was funny. Turns out one of the 15-year-olds he banged was a family friend, and one of the people he shot was a personal friend of my stepdad. So yeah, I did an about-face and left the family in peace for the rest of the night, and I'm currently cowering in my room. Fraud on.
Well, so yeah, you might want to know your context a little bit.
I did not get laid that night.
Right.
I watched you porn for 12 straight hours.
Man, when Burnsy gets to Hollywood, he's going to have straight Sandusky game.
he's got the boys' showers on lock.
Why do you guys insist on making my show so crass?
Well, Burnsy's going to be the host soon, so
yeah.
Enjoy your last couple episodes, buddy.
They'll be using this at my dismissal meeting.
Burnsy, we pledge loyalty to you now.
Thank you.
He's going to make us take an oath of fealty.
Shirts off.
They never did this for me, by the way.
I must warn you, we are fickle and cruel.
Top hats on, bow ties on. Vince, it's been fun, buddy.
If I were there, I would order you guys pizza.
Why can't you just do it from the Sony submarine?
Underwater.
I don't know.
He does have a point. Why don't we take our shirts off?
If you want pizza, you got to take your shirts off.
Trick question. Brett hates pizza. You see how fickle they are?
How can you hate pizza?
That's not true. He just likes it when I get hate mail.
It's true.
He's going to get so much hate mail. Fuck
you.
I don't like fake bread. He likes...
I don't like pizza too much. It's kind of greasy. You can get too much grease on my hands. I try to hold the pencil, and sometimes it slips right out. You know, I can't even draw. And I made a promise to myself years ago that I wouldn't do anything that would compromise my ability to draw stuff.
You know what my favorite part about the hate mail is they're trying to simultaneously endear themselves to you, right? They're like, hey, Vince, your friends are gay. Fuck your friends. Come be friends with me. Yeah. Random guy on the internet. We'll be best friends and maybe hold hands. It's like, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you?
Hey, you get just as much email love as you get hate.
I would say you get more love than a lot of us.
Yeah, I would say too.
Yeah. I'm a polarizing figure.
Yeah, you and Lindy are like, well, I don't know if fake Brett or Lindy is the most polarizing figure in the broadcast, because they all get a lot of hate mail and a lot of love mail.
But I do like how all of the love mail for fake Brett is simultaneously hate mail for me. Like, they always tag on, so much better than a real person. So much better.
I like it because I have friends who are douchebags too. So, Burnsy, I got some Hanukkah music for
you. Well, if it makes you feel any better, there was that whole stretch of time where everyone was writing into us and signing off their emails with, suck my dick, Brendan.
Yeah. Yeah, but as a term of endearment.
Yeah, that was a nice
no, they wanted you.
Thanks, guys. Suck my dick, too.
Yeah. See? Didn't that feel good?
Yeah, it did.
Tim, Mike, Tim, and John.
You can all suck Brendan's dick.
Yeah, all of you. And you know what? When you're done, suck his jeans.
Yeah. It'll be like, well, we are near Christmas. This is our last Frotcast before Christmas, so it's, suck my dick, Tim Mike. Suck my dick, Mike Tim. Suck my dick, Emporium.
It needs to be a bell where the angels get their wings.
So we have Hanukkah songs?
Every time I go, ah! An angel gets its wings. Covered in jizz.
Jizz wings? Jizz wings. Wait.
They can't fly like that, Brendan.
Hold on.
It's like a baby bird if you touch
then
it.
I hoard them.
How about this?
Closet full of them.
What if you jizz?
Got a closet full of jizz angels.
Closet full of jizz angels.
What if you jizz into...
No, hold on.
It's like a fucking American Apparel commercial in there.
Brendan's very serious right now. What if you jizzed into like an ice cube tray that looked like wings and froze them and then stuck them on the angels and you could have frozen jizz wings?
No. I think what you need to do is just jizz an enormous amount, like buckets and buckets full.
And then you get
someone to lay down in it and move their arms and legs like a snow angel, and that's how you make the jizz angel.
Just crying their eyes out. I hate jizz angels, Brendan.
You this do it.
Doesn't matter. You keep doing it. You keep doing it like that.
This is so degrading.
How could you even come this much?
There's plenty more where that came from. Grab me the milk jug.
Or it's back in the closet.
Grab me the milk jug. Suck my dick.
I'll suck your dick.
I'll suck your dick. Give us like a Santa. What would Santa do?
I guess... I've got my list of who's naughty and nice. The naughty ones, I suck their dick.
I don't know why, but that'll never get old.
What about the American Psycho thing? And I forgot he was in the movie until you emailed. So, have you ever released that to the wild yet? The American Psycho modernization?
Oh, yeah. I just did that today.
So Brendan emails back, and at the bottom, it's like running through.
For the people who aren't understanding, it was American Psycho modernized, so the lines are like... Feed me a lolcat, etc. Anyway. Yeah.
The last one from Brendan was just all suck your dick. And I'd forgotten fucking Willem Dafoe's in that movie. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, right. That's a good movie.
Detective Kimball.
Yeah.
I'll suck your dick.
Hanukkah songs, go.
So, do you like... On the way over here, I just bought the new Huey Lewis. Are you a fan? No, I'm not. Huey's a little too black sounding for me. My favorite lines of American Psycho.
Well, can we listen to Hanukkah songs after that joke?
We can, yeah.
Burnsy.
Hi.
Did you put this together in your corner of Hanukkah songs? Or
I did. I felt bad last week that I only brought you guys Christmas songs. I know that some of you are heathen pagan Jews.
Some of me. I'm the only one.
It's okay. I pretend to be Jewish.
When? All the time or just sometimes?
People think I'm funnier if they think I'm Jewish.
Do you wear a yarmulke from time to time?
Ashley Bernstein.
I used to tell people in high school that my last name was Berns.
Nicely done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
That quickly makes you a Jew.
My Judaic ambiguity is fantastic.
I get passed for Jew.
I don't know. With the hair?
The hair's...
It's a little
Jew-y.
Blonde.
It is. See, there's blonde Jews.
Really?
Name one.
ScarJo.
She's platinum blonde. She's bleach blonde, I mean.
Gotta be fake upstairs.
Yeah, but the yarmulke doesn't match the carpet.
Streisand?
She's not blonde.
Well.
We can all pretend, Brendan.
Well.
All I know is, I don't know if you guys know what Sukkot is, but it's like, or Sukkot or what, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Sukkot?
It's like the weirdest holiday ever. It's like when these Hasidic people, they have like a shed that they bring out, like on a truck. And so like,
made of gold.
Like you get off the subway and there's these guys that have brought a shed and they like try to have you pray and they have you like pray into a ear of corn or something. And it just looks, it's like, this is the weirdest indie band I've ever seen. I don't know what kind of viral marketing this is. I don't know what's going on. And whenever Sukkot was going on, people would pass by and they would always come up to me and be like, are you?
Oh,
you
really?
I would pray you can only, so hard into an ear of corn.
You can only pray to the corn if you're of the Hebrew faith.
Oh.
So they thought they mistook you for a heathen Jew.
Yes, like multiple occasions.
Wow. Yeah. And then you just punched them so hard and ripped their long
sideburns off. I tore their horns off.
Yeah, well, you better.
Yeah.
What if they're coming out with me with both horns?
I stuffed their horns. I tore their horns off and stuffed it into their money lickers.
Is the corn raw or is it like cooked at all?
It's like Indian corn.
Oh, that's no fun.
It's hard.
I'd be nice if they were offering you a nice corn on the cob. Yeah.
It's like prayer beads, but like corn
kernels.
You're
gonna get so much prayer stuck between your teeth. You're gonna poop out so much prayer.
Well, tell me, Bernsey, please just tell me that Fred Figglehorn has not.
Oh yeah, no Rick rolling here.
No, I went straight for awesome on this one because I was like I said last week, I didn't find a lot of Hanukkah songs, so I was really disappointed by the selection. But then I came across Gods of Fire.
That's the one I have queued up, amazingly.
And Hanukkah Gone Metal is the name of the album.
Ooh, sounds good.
And I'm pretty impressed by it. I think the quality is pretty good. I sent Vince three songs, so you guys can hear for yourselves. It's pretty awesome.
So far, so good.
Man, as a Jew, it is so sad that we have like three songs.
Hey, that yid could wail though.
Oh, could he? Oi. We have dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. We have that Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah.
I thought Dio was Jewish.
I don't.
You guys have Rainbow
there's
in the
a
Dark.
Lot of, there's, I'm sure there's like a lot. All of Kiss is Jewish.
No. My point is more the. There's a lot of Christian songs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Christmas songs.
Yeah, do you feel offended that Kiss released a Christmas album when they're all Jewish?
I am so offended. I am so fucking offended.
I mean, of all the people who would sell out like that, you'd think Kiss would be the last one.
Gene Simmons is the most respectable, honest.
And not tacky.
Not tasteful.
Tasteful.
Normal hair wearing. Natural hair wearing. Like, I mean, whenever I look at him, the first thing I think is that is natural, beautiful hair. And he is not creepy or weird. That's all I think when I look at him.
I wish him and Ted Nugent would both die in the same fire.
Oh, man, I can't stand Gene Simmons. I wish he would go away.
I fucking hate both of them
him
so much.
And the Kardashians all need to just go in some
pile. I would say Ted Nugent is the goyim Gene Simmons.
Okay. All right. But he's just
or would that be the Goy Gene Simmons? Because Goyim's plural? No?
But Ted Nugent is out on his ranch just like shooting stray humans in the head.
If you've ever seen one of his promos for his concerts on HDNet, you will want to blow your brains out.
Yeah, but I don't.
And his music sucks. It's fucking terrible.
You don't have cat scratch fever, obviously.
This is a man who's never listened to Wango Tango.
I will ask that you exclude Damn Yankees from that.
Well, of course. All right, so I got another song. It's called The Quest for the Latke Oil.
Sounds bad.
Was this one going to be pretty good?
It's one, I think all three of them are great.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me, but.
Come on, YouTube. Get your shit together, bro. This one sounds remarkably like the other one.
I was just about to say that.
We'll be right back. lot of not really in tune harmonic chords.
It's a really long intro.
I know, I wouldn't expect that from a metal song. There's no way that guitar's in tune.
No, it's not.
The reason there's such a long intro is that this song has to last for 12 nights, and there's only so many...
8 nights, you son of a bitch!
They only have 3 chords, and it's got to last for 8 nights.
How dare you?
What did I say? I said so many nights. I didn't say...
12.
Did I say 12?
You said 12.
Oh, really? Okay.
What did I say, you stupid Jew? What? I said so many nights, you...
Whatever your dumb holidays got, I'm going to go pray into some corn.
Yeah, go pray into...
I'm so much a better Jew than you. They ask me to pray into corn all the time.
How often do they ask you to pray into corn?
Almost never, I bet.
In their work shed.
Relatively few times, I suspect.
It's weird because they're usually so stingy with their corn.
Well, they don't let you keep it. You can pray into it.
But... So I had another song here, Bernsey, another Hanukkah song.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it is.
Here she comes. She's like an angel. Seems like forever that she's been on my mind.
Tiffles with wire.
Never the waste of the time. You know what she says, sir? That I'm forever that my skin on my flesh. Lovely as wine. Stings like the wings in. Keep us apart.
This could not be good audio. No way. This is the first song I know.
Night on my own.
There's no way that that was good audio.
I think that was probably pretty good.
You might as well stick the microphone inside your butt and go to sleep.
There's at least a 34% chance that that was good audio. At least.
I'm listening to Vince sleep from the microphone in his butt.
There's at least a 34% chance that that was good audio.
I do that with my mom sometimes so we can be together.
No, don't hang up. No, don't hang up. I'm just gonna put you up. Put you in my butt and go to sleep.
No, you hang up. I was on the outside mushrooms.
Can you do that just
There's
for your
no
next stand-up routine?
You combine that with the mangina, you would be everyone's favorite comedian. You would get $1 million from comedy.
Vince Mangina.
Ooh.
Have you thought about that?
Rubbing your heat crotch, just screaming words that aren't words.
Have you thought about being Vince Mangina?
I've tried. I don't know how to introduce it.
Dilling your man clip? You just say, hello, I'm Vince Mangina.
The gay guys like it. I don't know.
Hi, I'm Vince Mangina. Else. Watch me... diddle my man clit.
Is that like a Tosh intro? or a Jackass intro?
Hey, everybody.
I'm Vince Mancini, and this is Vince Mangina.
No. You're not Vince Mancini.
You become Vince Mangina.
Hey, everyone.
You embody it.
Anyone have a lighter? and a chair?
And just stand there waiting for a lighter.
Yeah.
Did you remember when, in Australia when they used to do the flaming manginas?
Yeah. Oh, that was dangerous. That was really dangerous.
The Australian guys would do the mangina, like tuck their dick and balls back and, you know, naked. Because we were always naked. We were always running around Australia. Naked. It's like the most homoerotic country on earth. And basically, the flaming mangina involved tucking your dick and balls between your legs and doing like the Silence of the Lambs and then lighting your pubes on fire and then dancing around. For as long as you could possibly go before your pubes burn down too much.
And maybe singing a song, right? Yes. There's a song that goes with it. Yeah. Is there any kind of accelerant, like hairspray or something?
No. Have you ever lit a hair on fire? It's like better than hairspray.
That is pure natural pube smoke coming out of there.
It smells delightful.
Yeah, burnt hair is quite a smell.
Well, burnt pube hair that also has like ball grease and...
Brennan's going to start his own little cult.
Oh, I never heard about this.
Well, first you have to start the fire like the puppetry of the penis guys do.
You gotta roll your dick between your hands. You're really fast.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's brilliant,
Brendan. You may want to go some sort of semester abroad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He did that. It's called NFL Europe.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
I saw a Turkish knife fight. That wasn't quite as cool as a flaming mangina.
Is that a sexual procedure?
No, it was a bunch of Turkish guys stabbing each other.
So yes.
It's like when two trannies are piss fighting and then a shaved pig comes in the room.
Is there a difference? Was this in Turkey?
This is in Germany. There's so a huge
Turkish knife fight in Germany.
Yeah, there's a really big Turkish population in Germany.
And they're big on knives and stabbing.
Yeah, they're very stabby.
Probably their favorite thing to do is the stabbing.
Actually, like, kind of funny aside is, like, they lectured us at the beginning when we were in Florida for a training camp. Art Schell was, like, the commissioner of it at that point. And he just yelled at us for 20 minutes about stay out of the Turkish bars.
Because of the knife fights.
Yeah.
Interesting. Art Schell, not a good commissioner.
No.
Nor head coach.
No.
No.
Bernsey, I realize it's almost 1 o'clock where you are. Is there anything that we should know about you before we let you go?
Just that I love you guys with all my heart.
What color are your eyes?
Emerald green with a tint of yellow.
You're our new leader.
I think that's just cirrhosis.
Well, have fun in show business.
No joke. How quick can you get the Sony submarine out here?
I am probably not going to talk to you guys ever again starting tomorrow.
Touche.
Consider this your send-off to the pionery.
All right, well,
I am going to jerk off in an envelope and send it to you.
This is your final farewell.
How will I tell that envelope from the others?
And then, like, three months from now, after I've completely screwed myself out of any kind of career, I'll come crawling back to you.
Mm. Burns, you have no idea how many jizz-filled envelopes Vince gets on a daily basis.
A deluge.
Oh, they're all self-addressed.
No, the from is different.
Can't afford stamps.
The from is different people, though. That's the best part. One was Mickey Mouse.
One was outer
Joseph
space.
Stalin.
Thanks, Bernsey.
Bernsey, I really enjoy being in your corner.
I've had fun yet again, guys.
You are a king among queens.
I can't live without your love and affection.
You know what? That would be a good sitcom.
It's true.
Called King of Queens.
Hanging up on that guy. He's trying to steal my thunder all the time.
Do you have a Sony submarine at your disposal?
I didn't even have Sony gloves.
Did you get so filled with rage he's ruining your podcast with awesome?
Yeah. Vince is going to make us swear an oath of fealty to him.
Kiss my rings.
Where's the blood? Prove it with blood.
I hate it when all my underlings outdo me.
Hey, Vince. I really like the site, but more importantly, I really like that Bernsey guy.
Also, I sent my jizz in an envelope.
Tell me about this Pauly Dangerously.
Yeah, I know. That opening act must be hard to follow. You're right. He is.
That's all right. It's all right. It's Vince Mangina.
Yeah, I think you might want to test that one out.
You guys want to see me light my pubes on fire?
I'm just saying, try it.
Give it a shot.
Just give it a trial run at home first? Is that what you mean?
No way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Out in public.
Well, I could get a Merkin in order to keep relighting the flaming mangina. That would be, you know what I should do is get, you know, a Merkin, and that way, like, whatever the backing of the Merkin would be, like, you know, made out of asbestos or something. So that way I can light the mangina and I can just, you know, it keeps burning down. It keeps burning down, but it's getting, you know, I got a barrier there.
Then you get dick cancer from the asbestos.
True.
Yeah, no asbestos.
Well, my
the
dick
ween.
Is not going to breathe it in.
I'm just saying, maybe it would.
You
don't know dick anatomy very well.
Science and science.
That's mostly science.
Science is just the fire of science and meth.
Yeah.
Science is like science, but instead of experiments, Chuck Liddell just punches the test tubes out of your hand. Yeah. There's just a scientist in there, and he's got a bunsen burner, and Chuck Liddell just comes in with like a lazy left hook and just knocks it on the
floor. You know what he says? Science proven.
Yeah. I call this crayon your ass, pussy.
Science. Fact.
Cringeraz.
No, it was a real flavor of science.
No.
See the symbol on my head? That's Chinese for suck my dick.
What does that really mean?
Proved it with math, pussy.
Science.
I think it is Chinese for suck my dick. I have no idea.
I like that he has to have an eternal mohawk now, though.
Yeah, I know. It's
you
like
can't
he's
go back.
He's married to it.
Yeah. Well,
it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. Permanent mohawk with the Chinese characters.
Can you guys hold this down for like 2 minutes? I got to pee really bad.
I don't know if we can last. I don't know if we can live without your love and affection.
I don't know if we can live without your mumbling into the mic.
Oh, wow. Shit's getting frosty when you go pee.
Well, when you don't know the lyrics, that's what happens.
That's the only part that's good.
All right, now hurry, Brendan. Grab everything you can and read.
Oh,
what
oh, yeah. I'll read his notes. Read
his notes. Supposed to email Halpern. I hope he did that. Oh, here's a notebook.
Right. Oh, I love this part of the show.
Sunglasses. Film screening / fart story. Facebook getting old.
No, wait. That was when you got in a fight. It was right before Facebook got old.
Oh, that's true.
Shut up! I said shut up!
UFC, and then the bullet point under it is not gay with cups.
Because the cups? Is that why?
It's all kind of written. It's all kind of written as like a set list. But
we're going to really ruin this for all his next big upcoming solo shows.
Wasn't that good of a set.
And then under that, in like bigger letters, he has number of haws.
Two.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh, hey, Vince.
Hey, Vince, what's going on, buddy?
What's happening there, buddy?
Brendan just had an amazing stand-up routine.
I killed it. I knocked him dead. Everyone was
dead.
Yeah.
Dear diary, I wish comedy material would bring my parents back together.
I did your UFC material way better than you did.
And Facebook. He's really bored of Facebook.
I hear it's getting old. You didn't turn your mic on.
So, Brendan, that was actually really good. Where can we find you doing stand-up?
You can see me at the Chuckle Hut.
Well, you only read one page. That's all you got? There's so much more material in there.
Oh, well.
It's mostly paper, but.
Good one.
Yeah. Ha! Two haws. I give it two haws.
I think the cover is some kind of plastic composite.
It's a jizz-free. It's a jizz repellent. Yes. That's the one thing in his room. Tortilla chips. Vince hates when Brendan's in his room because he just grabs indiscriminately at anything.
And I'm a pack rat, so I just have a million things like everywhere.
I like how he always lifts them up at a distance just in case there's a snake in there.
I don't know. It's Vince's room. Could be a snake in there.
That's a wise choice.
Bit in the dick.
Wise choice. So, what are your guys' worst films of 2011?
I didn't really see any movies.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
What are you guys' best films of 2011?
Drive, for sure. Drive is the only one that really it was memorable enough.
Or was watched.
Did you see it?
Yeah, it was the only one I watched.
Brendan never saw it.
No, I didn't see it. I don't think I saw anything this year.
Son, you know what?
We saw a few for the forecast.
What did we see? You and I saw, Rum Diary, which I didn't really like that much.
Brendan, here's your goal for 2012. No movies in the theater.
I think I can do that.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah, shit. Hesher? I saw a lot of Netflix stuff. I'm like last year's best.
Oh, is Hesher on Netflix?
Yeah.
I gotta watch that.
Not on the instant, but on the regular. You're gonna have to order it and wait a week.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Drive. I enjoyed Transformers 3 more than Transformers 2.
I don't even know. Like I can't even be snarky about it.
I just need to bring it up. Because that's always the go-to. He liked Transformers. He must have a dick in his butt.
I did enjoy when they called your arguments about Occupy Wall Street invalid because you like Transformers, and I got lumped in because you like Transformers. They're like, Brett and Ben's arguments are both invalid because Ben likes Transformers. Anything that is remotely attached to Ben is now tainted.
A big red stamp that says invalid.
Yeah, not...
They're reviewing the files of arguments, and it gets a big invalid
stamp. Did movies come out? Were there things that people watched?
All the good movies that I thought were good this year were like super limited release, so and people had barely heard of them.
Yeah. Sounds exclusive.
I consider myself someone that knows about movies.
Well, I don't know. Rise of Planet of the Apes was pretty good, and I thought X-Men was pretty good.
I
thought both of them could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
I enjoyed both of them.
Well, Rise was like a total B movie. I mean, it was good for a shitty movie, basically.
But the thing is, it could have been... I felt like it was half a movie. I felt like... And we probably talked about this, but I felt like it the end of the movie should have been the middle of the movie.
Of Planet of the Apes?
Of Rise, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw Thor was
more
cute.
Circus.
Yeah, I thought Thor was cute. Nothing to like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's not. It wouldn't make the list, but I've
only seen
three.
You could always use more circus. But I just felt like they showed the whole trailer of Rise. The whole action sequence was in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went out to the forest, and that's the end of the movie. I felt like it could have been the second half could have been them sort of establishing some sort of.
I don't know. I'm the opposite. I always want movies to end sooner. Like I feel like so many movies end way too late. Like there's the last act where they're just over explaining everything.
I personally just didn't need all of in Rise all of the social interaction in the monkey jail.
Oh, that was the best part.
Oh, I mean, it could have been a lot shorter.
What was the thing?
Monkey bitches and stuff.
No,
sadly,
monkey prison. You learn the difference
between monkey prison and what?
Monkey jail.
Monkey county. You don't want to go to monkey county. That's just a holding cell for monkeys.
Yeah, that's where they don't give you very many.
No, this is in the future that we're going to talk about this, isn't it?
It could be in the past.
Oh, yeah.
It could be in the past. That's true.
It's a prequel. Oh, my God. Guys, I just traveled through time. Don't go to the future. It's going to be horrible.
It's kind of a bummer in the future, it turns out.
Yeah.
X-Men.
I was talking about 20 minutes in the future. We talked to the guy who went to jail.
Have you released your top 10? What does Film Drunk do?
I have not. I have not seen.
Do you have a top 10?
I feel like all of the important movies came out in the last 3 weeks of the year, and I don't feel like I've seen quite all the movies. I need at least until probably the first, second week of January to
what? When are the Oscars?
I think. I mean, I know what I think are the best movies so far.
And what's
Elite Squad 2 is by far the best movie I saw this year.
Okay, that's not even released in the United States.
It was released in the United States.
It's rentable now, right?
Yeah, it is. Ooh. It is.
Is it Netflixable?
It's fucking, and you would like it too, because it's not like an artsy Sundance movie. It's like fucking Brazilian people shooting each other in the head.
Every time a Brazilian movie makes it here, it is awesome.
I might like it better than City of God.
Things like that.
I don't know. I have only seen it once so far, so I don't have quite the distance from it. But having seen it once, it was fucking fantastic.
Well, next week, maybe all of us will look at some sort of site like Wikipedia and see what movies did come out. And Brendan didn't see very many, but
no,
that's okay.
No, look, hey, I saw like three movies.
Elite Squad was great. Midnight in Paris was fucking pretty good. I really liked Cedar Rapids. I really liked...
didn't come out in 2011, did it?
I think it did in March, or I believe.
Hmm. Well,
I saw it at Sundance this
year.
Didn't
we have like a poll going where I won and we were betting on the top grossing? Did anyone see any of the movies that we were betting on?
I saw
a long time
plenty
ago.
Of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you had Mr. Pooper's Penguins and Green Lantern.
Yeah, that was a 50-50.
50-50 was really good. Like Crazy was pretty good. You would hate both those movies.
Boosh.
I wanted to see Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids
was enjoyable,
funny.
Especially if you like John C. Reilly.
I do.
How do you not? Like, yeah. That might be one of his my favorite performances of his, too.
He is so enjoyable.
Muff farts. Queef.
He was guessing something at that
point? Yeah, there was the scavenger hunt, and there was words on the bottom of the pool, and he's trying to guess the word jumble, and he's like, muff farts. Queef.
There's no Q.
Tim, I don't care if you cornhole the cripple kid.
It was really, it felt sort of real, more real than most.
It started off kind of fake. Like, it started off as like a 40-year-old version contrived premise, and then it turned into a real movie after that.
It felt a little more real than most generic comedies do.
Yeah. With the exception of like the, what's his name? Rob Corddry. I love Rob Corddry because he created Children's Hospital and he's awesome, but I wasn't a big fan of his, like, you know, token cameo as like the tough guy in the party.
Yeah, but it felt real enough for some sort of generic insurance convention in the middle of nowhere.
And it was like, I was like, Anne Heche is shockingly good looking in this movie.
I think she has potential.
I never have ever thought Anne Heche is attractive at all. And I saw that movie, I was like, yeah, she's kind of hot in this movie, I gotta say.
She's okay.
For Anne Heche.
I finally got around to seeing Hot Tub Time Machine, but that came out last year, didn't it?
I like Hot Tub Time Machine.
I like Hot Tub Time Machine.
No, you know what happens when you talk in a high voice? It means you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
Well,
I feel like it was the opposite of the Hangover, where like from a plot macro standpoint, The Hangover is kind of every terrible comedy ever.
Hangover 2 was this summer, wasn't it?
No, I'm talking about the first one.
No, but Hangover 2 was this summer, was it?
Yeah, I think it was May.
Yeah.
But like Hangover
sucked.
Hangover was like, you know, like the riffing was funny and like all the little, you know, everything Galifianakis did was really funny, even though the story sucked. Whereas Hot Tub Time Machine, it wasn't really that funny on like a joke, like a joke,
joke
level,
by joke.
But like the plot was fucking hilarious.
Really?
Dude, yeah. The thing with the arm where
Brandon
the that
liked
was
it?
Great.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Yeah.
Where he looks at the camera and he's like, it must be some kind of hot tub time machine. And he looks at the camera.
Really?
I feel like from a macro standpoint, the plot of the movie was really funny. I didn't think the individual moments were that funny.
I only saw it because people I respect said it was awesome, and
I never said it was awesome.
Burnsy,
mostly. I liked it.
Yeah.
Burnsy?
Yeah, probably.
So it was enjoyable. I found it enjoyable.
I respect Burnsy a lot.
I can't wait till he's
and
the host.
His submarine.
I can't wait. What did you hate so much about it?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was all right. I chuckled.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I never like got a full fucking laugh in. It was like
half. Yeah. You okay. Got a half okay. Laugh.
I didn't ask for my fucking Netflix rental back, but
I mean, compared to almost every other comedy.
I don't know.
Well, we'll actually look and see what was released within the calendar year.
None of you guys saw Bridesmaids?
No.
No, I will probably never see it.
Oh, I saw that.
Why do you hate Bridesmaids so much, Ben?
I just the concept of it doesn't seem very funny.
Mm. But yeah. It was also sort of marketed in a tricky way. Like, they don't actually get to Vegas, the whole movie.
Oh, my God. Now I have to see it. And it was funny?
It was funny.
That means it was not funny.
I thought it was okay.
Well, in Bridesmaid's case,
he paused.
In Bridesmaid's case, they would do like funny joke, funnier joke, really funny joke, and then like there was always one joke where that wasn't funny that they left in the movie. And I was like, if you would have just edited this a little better, it would have been hilarious. But there was like almost every sequence had one joke that was. It felt like sloppy improv. Like it wasn't didn't quite fit together.
I continue to argue that 2 60-minute movies or 50-minute movies would be so much better than trying to cram in 90 minutes or plus into one.
Can I just say how excited I am about the billion-dollar movie? Because I think that's exactly what you're describing. And it's got John C. Reilly. It's Dr. Steve Brolin.
God, but have you ever read comment sections anytime I post Tim and Eric anything?
No.
They're more polarizing than Lindy and Fake Brett combined.
Banging.
It's like you either hate them or you think they're like the worst fucking scum assholes in the world. It's weird.
People don't like Tim and Eric?
People have a hard time dealing with, I will say that, you know, they're, when their stuff doesn't work, it really doesn't work.
It's free real estate.
Yeah.
It almost, yeah.
My name's Snuggler. I'll snuggle you.
Also,
Bopper's better than Tumblers.
Also, some people
Tumblers
don't like
better than Boppers.
Shrimp and white wine.
Beaver boys.
Some people don't like absurdity because it's like they're almost philosophically opposed to it. It's
make
like
my bub bubs bounce. Just make my bub bubs.
I feel like
bounce.
a certain level of absurdity in comedy is like it's like too existential for some people to deal with in general.
Really? Because it's come completely free floating. It's just detached from. I need like a cow fucking.
Well,
a
bird, but think about you. You're like
the most loathed person on the podcast.
Well, no, but you're the most like nihilistic existential.
How is. Is there
like you
some
have
sort of a harness?
You have contempt.
How does the cow fuck the bird?
That's the best part.
Is a bird
MS Paint?
Is the bird flying?
Yes.
Like flapping its wings.
Yes. The cow is supported by the bird.
Like I like absurdity, but you have contempt for things making sense. Like it's another level.
Yeah. But I don't think that's a requirement. People like Tim and Eric.
I don't think it's a requirement
but makeup on.
I think it explains why the certain people that dislike it, I think.
But don't you get to that point eventually? Isn't everyone going to end up in my nightmare?
Petite feminine step.
Like if we make Ben watch
sounds
enough
like
movies, he'll be right where I am.
Walking in the room.
Oh, but Brendan and I went to go see Puss Whip Bang Gang.
Yeah.
Their musical troupe. And they just played the songs from Tim
and Eric. So good, yeah.
Oh, sports.
Yeah, sports. And then they also played the one where they did like the long-ass breakdown. And then Tim was like, oh, yeah. All right, we're going to break it down for you. All right. Now, like, what was it? It was like on the count of three. The whole song was, this is a song about your uncle. And so then he does this whole breakdown, like, oh, yeah, like, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, on the count of three, I want everyone to say your uncle's name. So we're like, one, two, three. And then I said Rob because I got a cool uncle named Rob. And then the guy next to me said Neil. And that was just like way better.
True. Clearly.
Yeah. Neil trumps Rob.
Yeah.
In the uncle name game.
Uncle Rob's pretty fresh, though.
He's a good uncle?
Yeah, he's an awesome uncle. He's definitely the cool uncle. And, like, not in a way that, like, once you're 18, you're like, oh, the cool uncle is now just sad and losery. He's, like, he's a pretty cool dude.
Just kicking ass?
Yeah.
Kicking Keith, Uncle Keith's ass and Uncle Doug.
Yeah, Uncle Keith, yeah, he was not as good of an uncle as Uncle Rob. I actually did have an Uncle Keith.
Oh.
Yes.
Past tense, I'm sorry to hear
yes.
that.
Yes, oh, that's okay.
He died on a salmon expedition.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
I tried to fuck a cow with a bird. No, Uncle Keith and
that's when the salmon's got him.
Uncle Keith and my dad had to have like a tough talk about calling the house when he's drunk. So then after that, it kind of,
spiraled.
Oh, man, you sent me that email, that drunken email that our coach sent out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
That was depressing.
It was like a mutual friend of ours who sent out a drunken email to like his entire address book.
Oh, man.
He said all sorts of horrible things, and it was like so embarrassing, so uncomfortable to read.
Stream of consciousness.
No matter what's in that
Joycean.
Email, no matter what's in that email, it should never go to everybody.
How do you do that? How do you just send an email to everyone you've ever met?
Lots of cocaine.
I'm gonna press this button until everyone knows the truth.
Well, that's actually not. It's probably easier to send it to everyone than to send to a very select group of people.
Right.
It's either one person or everybody. Those are the two easiest things to do.
You have to just pretend that you're a porn spam bot, and you have to embody that.
Ah.
Speaking of which, do you have any voicemails that were translated?
Any other emails? I like emails.
The spam bot's my favorite part. Which
Burns has been on.
Brendan is so lost in time.
He's unstuck. Yeah. He's like Kilgore Trout at this point.
Come back, yeah. Billy Pilgrim.
All Brendan's ever wanted to be is Kilgore Trout.
It's true.
The DeLorean.
That was I.
I assume you guys all saw the story about the guy who ate cocaine from his brother's butt and died.
See, I did not, but I mourned for your dead brother's butt.
So was it? Did he die from the butt cocaine?
Yes, it was not. It was more from the cocaine than the butt, I believe.
Toxicology results are pending.
Here's the poorly written.
20% chance of death by butt. What about 70% chance it's the cocaine?
What if his brother just has the most? Oh, there's the foulest. But
you got that. He's in South Carolina. He might have that swamp ass.
Yeah, maybe he had like a whole pile of fried chicken.
A South Carolina man's brother died after police said he was forced to eat cocaine hidden in his brother's backside. Both brothers were taken into custody on allegations they had drugs in their car. But police told Charleston, South Carolina TV station WCIV there were additional drugs hidden in 23-year-old D'Angelo Mitchell's backside. Officers said D'Angelo Mitchell convinced his brother, 20-year-old Wayne Mitchell, to swallow the ounce of cocaine to hide the evidence. He died soon afterward.
I guess we shouldn't count on local South Carolina news to like follow Strunk and White or like the AP style book to a T, but like the first thing that jumped out at me that drove me insane is the lead is a South Carolina man's brother died, which makes zero sense. Why not just say a South Carolina man died?
Yeah,
no, it's because the brother's a very important submarine operator.
A South Carolina man's brother died after police said he was forced to eat cocaine hidden in his brother's backside. Why wouldn't you just say, because it's the same thing. Why would you just say a South Carolina man died after police said he's forced to eat cocaine hidden in his brother's backside?
Family torn apart by love, dog.
Yeah, I told TJ about the story. And he's like,
butt coke.
He's like, can you imagine the funeral where they're just like, you know, Wayne was the kind of guy, he would give you the shirt off his back. He would eat the coke out of your ass to keep you from going. He was such a giving friend. He would eat the cocaine out of your butt to keep you from going to jail.
Till his last dying day.
He would bend over backwards to eat cocaine out of your ass to keep you from going to jail.
I like it. There's like the picture where they're in the back of the of the van or the back of the squad car, and he definitely looks like a guy who realized he just ate a whole ton of butt coke.
Do you think they were cuffed that whole time? Because that, I mean,
finger cuffed.
That is
maybe.
Amazing. Like he was trying to like bob for apples out of his. He was trying to bob for butt coke.
Oh Jesus!
Wait, so they were both handcuffed?
Well, I mean,
I'm so
there's a picture of them handcuffed. I don't know. Maybe they switched the coke. Why would the coke
the
be
dude
in his
seriously
butt?
Looks like I don't feel so good. That's what he looks like.
I hope this coke don't bob that, in my belly.
I think that coke was butt coke.
I think I got a bad batch of butt coke.
Yeah, I think I have a bad batch
hey, bro,
of butt coke.
Bro, I'm not feeling so hot. That was that butt coke.
Oh,
that
someone was... gets on the microphone. Do not eat the butt coke.
Butt coke's gone bad. So that's what happens. The more you know, don't eat butt coke.
Yeah. So that was a few emails. We got that quite a few. Oh, we got another fake Brett. Hey, no more. Thanks.
What does fake Brett have to say about that?
Let's see. The blackface. I'm not going to read that one. Kevin Spacey for president of space.
Yeah, that was a great Photoshop. Thank you for whoever did that.
Oh, this one was
pretty good. Did he win? Did he win, by the way?
By a landslide.
Yeah. A space slide. By a space slide.
This one was
good.
Which is like
one of the spiral ones, but in reverse.
He won by an asteroid belt.
Yeah. Different. It's different ways to measure things in space.
Right.
Landslides don't happen.
By a quasar.
By a comet trail.
Fuck you, Brendan.
You won by a quasar.
I just listened to the most recent Fraudcast, and while the British Bill Cosby was hilarious, I felt the need to discuss the heckler almost fight. I am currently a teacher, but before this career, I spent 8+ years in private security work and conflict mediation for enterprise-level companies, so take what I am about to say as genuine. Brendan, you insist that you don't try to start fights, but your actions belie your words. The first rule to adhere to when trying to defuse a potentially violent situation is to never escalate or match someone else's hostility. When the heckler said, "Stand up and say that," you should not have complied. This only furthered the tension in the room and provoked the heckler to then in turn escalate the hostility. It sounds ridiculous, but Dalton's advice in Roadhouse about being nice is true. Secondly, if someone is directing violence your way from afar, why close the distance? This increases the likelihood of a violent altercation exponentially. You should have waited for the heckler to either calm down, let his friends whisk him away, or possibly have the staff intervene. There was no staff, but anyway. I know you were standing up for your friend Vincent, but it seems that you were a little too eager to engage in a physical assault. I think if you take my words to heart in future, everyone will be better off. P.S. I made all that up. You should have punched that guy in the liver with a left hook and followed up with a right upward elbow to the nose. Dang-a-da-dang-a-da-dang. So I enjoyed that, yeah. I like the left turns at the end. Yeah, what can I say?
DL.
Is it any other questions?
Oh, this guy had a suggestion, a late addition to Burnsy's Corner. Mary Monica Bublé is actually a practicing radiologist in Florida, but her real passion apparently is murderers. Mary Monica uses all of her spare time to support and fund the defense of Joran von Vandersloot, famous for killing Natalie Holloway in Aruba a few years back. She plans to sell all of her songs and to further support Vandersloot's defense, a worthy cause if ever there was one. Anyway, enjoy the horrifying music, Crazy Eyes, and Mustang Love. And I got one of those songs here.
Vandersloot? That's like my made-up name.
You don't know about the Vandersloot?
Oh, Theodore Vandersloot?
No, his brother Joran.
So this is the radiologist that's supporting Vandersloot. This is the weirdest...
Well, it looks like Vandersloot's going to get off because I'm going to dump all my money into this. Seriously, this is terrible.
Weird.
Is this
very weird?
She's Floridian, correct?
Yes.
From the planet Florida?
Correct.
Yes, she is Floridian.
She's from the Florida system.
Indeed. Anything else would you like me
No,
you don't need to check,
right?
Need to check all the emails.
I don't think you need to read more emails.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Stop you clicking.
Sorry. Ben just got me on the, you know, hey.
I was hoping for some relationship questions because I feel like we're very good at that.
We are. We didn't get that. We got a lot last week. We got too many to read last week, and then we did not get.
No, we blew our relationship load.
Yeah. Well, you can send them in again. Feel free.
Generally speaking, I can't live without your love and affection.
I think two times in one podcast.
Yeah, that was three.
I just like when Brendan says no words.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun being in Brzee's corner. And Vince, thanks for bringing on the fellow. Did he get an ascot as well?
He did.
Yeah, that was. I could hear prison stories forever.
Yeah.
He got his ascot and promptly keistered it.
Still up there. It makes his poops very smooth, though. Everyone. I'd say thanks for listening. Vince, anything else?
Just love me, Daddy.
Brett, anything else?
No.
Me, anything else? No. Brennan, take us on out of here.
Poopy turds. All right. filmdrunk@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google voice number?
It is 415-275-0030. Bitch, I remembered that from memory.
Boosh.
Nice work.
Do we get any calls at all?
We didn't play all of them last time, but I don't think we got any this week.
Make sure you say stuff that the robot likes, because I crack up at that shit. All right. So, yeah, leave us weird voicemails and whatnot, and relationship questions, as always, are on the table, and send us anything else that you may find interesting. All right. That about does it. What say you guys? Yes?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, have a happy holiday, and until next time, suck my dick, Emporium.
Emporium?